This show is part of the Head Stuff Podcast Network.
Piep, 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 wir haben uns alle lieb.
Piep, 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 wir haben uns alle lieb.
Which means?
Hello, peep, peep, peep. It means the same in English as it does
peep,
in...
Peep, peep, peep.
Does it like... And then, Annie boobs.
The peeping Tom. no, it doesn't mean that. No, it doesn't mean that.
We love to peep.
Tell them what it means.
Go on,
nice.
Sorry.
It means peep, peep, peep. We all hold each other with love in our hearts.
Wow.
They're attractive.
They are very attractive.
Hot and loud.
And a little bit sad.
He was the best guy around.
Oh my, is it hot in here or what?
You're an attractive guy.
It's the fabulous Tony Cantwell.
I'm talking about Shane Daniel Byrne.
Idiots on the Moon!
Ah, Christmas is coming, and the geese are getting fat. And, you know, you can get kind of bogged down with some of the grub, you know, the mince pies, the roast chickens, the roasties, crisp sandwiches. I find, I just want to sip on something light and fresh.
Yes.
A nice, light and fresh Wicklow Brewed Lager goes down so easy over the Christmas festivities.
It's like a jingle bell, jingle bell.
Christmas cheer. Christmas cheer.
Singing that?
Christmas cheers with re-raw.
Never heard anyone sing jingle bells like that.
It's called re-raw Irish Lager. And it's delicious.
It's great. Fresh.
I actually am going to get it for Christmas because I like sometimes I think you want to manage your own even at a family event.
I love the seeds. Yeah, when the ad read is dropped and someone speaks in a normal voice, it's just a completely different tone. It's a completely different pace. And they're the sponsors of this week's podcast. So thank you to Rerah at Rerah Beer on Instagram.
Delicious.
Which my mum did not like when we did that around the dinner table because she thought it was sort of a groupthink kind of Scientology kind of thing. And she said she could see us, our eyes rolling to the back of our heads. And she's like, I don't like it, Helen. Don't make them do that. Yeah. But anyway, welcome to the Young Hot Guys podcast.
Welcome to the podcast.
This is Ireland's podcast with three comedians who have the least amount of allegations between them.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
We're at, I think, 41 or... 42, sorry, Tony, didn't something happen on the bus this morning?
It's all with the lawyers.
It did, no. Yeah. That was a bit out of place. Sorry, yeah. You're not allowed to do that voice. I thought it was one of the ones you're allowed to do. You're not allowed to do that voice.
Running through.
Mm-hmm. Just to reiterate, we are sorry for any harm and offence caused.
Yeah, okay. Sorry about that.
We're pre-apologising for the offence that we are going to cause in this episode. So.
How is energy today? How is energy?
Energy's good, but of course we were up very early this morning because we were on the kind of lower medium TV. You know,
wait, what?
The lower medium, you know, the kind of the, you know, obviously we're up here in podcasting, yes. the peak of communication. Mm-hmm. Of course, we had to do a national broadcaster.
We were on a national broadcaster.
It was the national broadcaster.
Not the national broadcaster.
Someone who broadcasts nationally, but not the national. We were on TV3 or
yes.
Ireland or what do you call it? Virgin Media.
Did you hear
Virgin
you?
Media.
We were on Network 2. You were on Network 2.
Let me tell you. There used to be a show on it was on Radio 2 at the time, but whatever they called it now, 2FM. Yeah.
We were on national television today.
Yeah.
The three of us, bright and early. If you tuned in at 8:15, you would have seen three very young, very hot, mm-hmm. as Tommy Bowe introduced us. Tommy Bowe, famous Irish rugby international. Mm-hmm. And he said, and here we have, well, they consider themselves hot young boys.
Yeah,
you did, we were like, okay, no, he hasn't read the brief.
He hasn't read the...
We've
he
got
didn't
some
understand
hot
the
young
assignment.
Boys coming on.
Yeah, yeah. It sounded like it was like a test or something that we'd have to come out, that we were going to play like, you know, Pony by Ginuwine or something like that.
Yeah.
Boom, boom. Get
we have to
get
dance
kid
in front
off.
Of them.
He is a young hot guy, though.
Yes.
Tommy Bowe. I kind of wanted him to beat us all up.
Yeah. Oh, his big hands.
Big hands. Very shovel big hands. Hands.
Yeah.
My metric is whether I'd want them to spoon me, and I don't know if I want him to spoon me. I'm sorry to say.
I want him just to fuck you straight up.
straight up.
Missionary. Yeah, legs yeah. in the air. Do it.
Don't okay. touch me after.
Anyway, yeah. One of them.
Yeah.
Like,
leave me in the proven drawer to think about what I've done overnight.
Yeah, and you haven't even pulled up your pants and he's gone. Yeah. Anyway, this is...
Sorry,
this,
not to alienate
this
our...
Really, we're getting hot.
I don't mean to alienate
early.
Our marginal straight listenership.
We're so early into the episodes and suddenly we're so showbiz now.
We're so showbiz now,
yeah.
You know. But, you know...
Well, we, as some of you guys might know, it was a podcast awards last night. And we are on the Head Stuff Network and they are the winners of the best network in Ireland.
Or publisher.
Best publisher?
They should have scratched that out. I might actually scratch it out, Alan, if that's all right, because publisher doesn't apply here.
We were 2 weeks on this network and mm-hmm. suddenly they win Best Network.
It's actually insane.
A coincidence? I don't know about
me
that.
Me thinks no.
Oh, do you know what? It's gone pure Gideon here. I feel real giddy energy. Thank you everyone for listening. Do you know why I was out the other day and I was in the city centre, Dublin city centre, I was out clubbing, you know. And we passed this cool bar. There's a new bar on Dame Street there, and then my friend said, oh, that's supposed to be the new cool place. And I said, yeah, for young people. Look at the young people outside, it's a big crowd of young people. And didn't one of the young people turn around and go, oh, young hot guys.
Wow.
And I was like, oh, cool, there's a guy listening. And then another guy said it. Another guy was, oh, young hot guys. And I was like, okay, this is pretty great.
Let me then, did you turn around and see loads of young hot guys behind you and go, oh, they were pointing at them?
There was young hot guys, there was young hot girls, there was young hot binaries everywhere, non-binaries everywhere. Wow. It was pretty good. But it was at that corner, do you know what I was thinking about? And I was just thinking, I said, look at them young people. And then I felt really cool and relevant and sexy because the young people knew who I was.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It is still just a title, by the way, when he says, oh, young hot guys. I mean, I know sometimes it trickles down being like, oh, maybe I am you, maybe I am young horror guy. But it really is just
don't
a title.
Take this away from me.
Sorry, go ahead.
Okay. Don't leave it as bunk.
Leave it as bunk.
It's bunk. It's bunk. Sorry. Okay. Young hot guys is bunk. We are
not,
young hot guys.
I'm not doing it.
But I was laughing at myself for saying, like, oh, the young people, which now is a legitimate thing I can say, the young people, because I'm not one of them. Mm. And then I was like, I am real old. Like, do you know what I started doing then? It was at the corner, you know where Gay Spa is? Yes. And then I was thinking, those young people don't know that used to be a spa at all. And I was like, became this, and I started living out this. I don't know, I wasn't even in my brain, I was giving a tour to the young people. I was like, half that spa, let me tell you, I have a story about this spa. It used to be a Philips shop on the George Street side. It was a Philips electronic shop.
I remember.
And one time I was walking by there with my cousin, and there was a man in there completely naked.
In there?
Yes.
Oh my God.
In the shop.
Yeah, and he was standing at the counter. Being really calm, but he was fully naked.
Do you have anything for this?
Yeah.
Do you have a screen big enough to display this?
But it, you know the way you might think a naked person on the street might be like, he was a young hot guy himself.
Was he?
He was a hot guy. Yeah, beautiful.
Do you accept
beautiful.
Laser?
Yeah, that was the time, laser card.
Swipe it here.
And then the other corner, then before that was the thing, that used to be...
He's actually doing it. I am.
But I was thinking of the tour. This is one of my day now. That's different. Even Killian, you're younger than me. You would remember. There used to be a tapestry shop, rugs, that kind of thing. And of course, who sat out in the window? May Robinson. There was a May Robinson tapestry. Do you remember this? Do you know this?
No, I don't. You just.
Do you have memory
people.
Of that?
No. I am becoming old in that when I go around Dunleary, which is my neck of the woods, I do point at buildings and go, that building there. That used to be something else, which is just, I think, 90% of being old, just walking around pointing at things going, see that building there? That used to be a different thing. Yeah. That was a different building.
This used to be called Kingsland. They used to call Kingstown, it back in Kingstown.
Yeah, Kingsland.
But before Gay Spa was Gay Spa, when they made a fancy spa, and you know why it was fancy at the beginning? Everything changed very fast in Dublin City.
It did.
Where it was fancy, you could get a crepe. In the spa. And it was like, had a gold lettering, and everyone called it Gold Spa, and then it came out as Gay Spa.
And what was the LGBTQ stance of the Philips shop?
It was just their neighbour, I guess, in the George, but okay. I don't.
I remember seeing it just, and this is when I came back, because I left Ireland in 2008. So, like, just before.
So many young people did it.
Well, just before, it would have been the year after.
So many young people did.
So, it was still kind of the boom times. And then I remember coming back for, like, the Christmas afterwards and just the amount of closed shops. And I remember that Philips shop being closed, hitting me hard, being like, wow, they can't even, people aren't even buying TV.
Can't buy a Hoover now.
Can't buy a Hoover
now. The kids, they are all Harvey Norman this. Mm. You know what I mean?
They're spending their hard-earned cash in the George now. They're skipping straight over to the Philips shop. They're getting their gratification, not from screens.
That naked man is still on the same street. He's just in the George.
He found his home.
He was just in the wrong shop. He went up to the thing. It was like, "Where's the gay bar? Should I ask for something? Is this the weird entrance?"
Yeah. Because gay men are always just naked on the street, you know.
That's not what I was. Sorry, well, that's not. No. I wasn't saying that.
Add that to the list of allegations.
Well, 42. Can we just go back to the? Remember, we pre-apologized for this episode. So everything that we say this episode, it's been pre-apologized.
That's covered.
For. It's been covered in that. Yeah, but it was good. Ireland AM, I think we got a lot of people listening from there. So if you're listening from Ireland AM, thank you for watching.
Yeah.
We appreciate it.
I assume the majority of the audience who had watched that show probably went to the toilet during our section.
I'd say so. Do you know what I found very interesting? Is like it all seems so showbiz when you're on there. But like, you know, they had a chef on who was making like a pot pie. Mm. And they're like, oh, come back later, have a lovely pot pie. And I just pictured, this is what I was just pictured. It's like, oh, the chef is over there cooking somehow quietly, you know, and you just don't see them. She was there in the green room, like dusty knuckled, you know, like crimping the pie like really fast.
the producer screaming at it, go, yeah, Miriam, we need that, we need that pie. Five.
On top of a load of like cards, on top of a load of Ireland AM cards, as to not, you know, get the counter dirty. And I'm like, this is the reality. This is the reality of
we
TV.
We need three pies, okay?
Yeah.
She was running late. She came dodging in with her trolley. Tony was late. And then I said to Killian, we said, oh, it'd be fine if he didn't come, it'd be kind of funny. And then I told the girl that from Ireland AM, and I was like, we were thinking it'd be kind of funny if he didn't show up. And she was like, well, I don't think so. Like,
yeah. All right. She actually took a big, like, stressed sigh. She was like, She was like, no, that wouldn't be good. As if, like if Tony doesn't show up, I'm getting fired. Tony's just like, in, I don't know, you were in a Circle K getting a roll.
I was on time, and then I pulled into a Circle K, got a coffee, a little caramel slice, and a vape.
Meanwhile, is it a power play? Is this a thing you like to show up late with a coffee, which is really rude, but you do it every time?
I do that, yeah. I don't know what it is. I have a compulsion. I suppose it's kind of unwalked path of me being on time, and so I'm maybe a bit intimidated by it. It's safe for me to be like, I know what it is, you know? Mm. I think I'm more emotionally linked with you if I have to enter a room apologizing or something.
So it's the opposite of a power play. It's actually like...
It's more like a bottom play.
It's a meek play.
Yeah.
Nothing unpowerful about being a bottom.
I know, sorry. It's just, you know.
You ever tried to dig a dick in the ass?
It's tough.
You seen how small an asshole is?
God damn!
This is just Shane still trying to prove he's gay to the people who
No one believes it.
No one believes he's gay.
I actually withheld when you were talking about having a reputation on the football pitch. I was like, I was going to do a little joke. I would say, well, I had a reputation for going down on my knees too, but that's another story. But I held it back, and then now I just did it as well.
That's good.
It's good.
Gay people are serious people, and we do have normal lives.
Yes. Your libido's out of control. Are you vegan or something?
Well, I heard that this morning over breakfast with my colleagues. Young Hot Breakfast.
Yeah.
That if you go vegan,
I did a month, and it was just after like a week, I was just like super horny all the time.
Okay.
That's where I think about 90% of the allegations come from, that period of Tony's period.
You know, who knew cheese was suppressing such a monster? It was a demon.
I don't like cheese and...
Yeah. No, you're right.
It's confusing. Move away from that.
But if you are listening and you have recently become vegan, let us know if you got... More, as they say, more H-word.
Well, on
that's what they say. The gays say that on Twitter.
More A-word.
Oh, feeling H-word.
Oh, really?
Okay. What does H mean? Well, horny.
People have started to, like, people say, you know, unalive and stuff like that. Because there are words, because what's become apparent to me is it's more important to be algorithmically in line so that people see more of what you say than to actually say what you mean. So, like, to... you know, cover curse words. Like the thing about YouTube is you can kind of say mostly what you can want, what you want on Twitter, but TikTok is such a strict algorithm that people are now communicating saying like unalive instead of dead because dead will be buried and all this kind of stuff that you have to kind of be appropriate, which is maybe good that it's kind of approachable, but I don't think that's the best thing possible.
Well, I always say, as they used to say on Catchphrase, say what you see. If you see it, say it.
If you say it. 5 seconds, here we go.
What's his name? Roy?
Roy.
Can't think of a surname.
Fuck.
There is a good, I think it was on the subway in New York. They had this, if you see something, say something thing. Mm-hmm. It was just so vague. It was so ripe for comedy. And people just kept, if you see anything.
Yeah.
People were just like, just if I see anything. And they were just calling up going like, man, I just saw a guy. He was wearing the funniest hat. It's just like.
She smiled at me on the subway. She was with another man. Saw a bird on the subway. She was with another man. She smiled at me.
You know,
I think it was a cry for help.
I shook hands with James Blunt.
Did you?
Yeah, at the Late Late Show. Because
it seems like he'd have cold hands.
He was on the week
before.
We're
a very everyman podcast, by the way, very approachable.
No, I was just being a dog's buddy, warming up the audience beforehand. And I came off, and then as I was walking through the corridor, he was there to go on as a guest. And then the woman was like, and this is Shane, our comedian. And then I was like, hiya. I was a bit like frazzled. And then she's like, James, this is James. I was like, I'll say hello, James. And then I just put out my hand. I was like, I don't know what, he doesn't. And it was really weird. I was like, nice to meet you. And then I said, big fan of your work. Which I'm not.
Oh, okay.
No, you're not. I love James.
He smiled at me in the green room. And then he shook my hand.
Yeah, that's strange. Life is strange,
you're
though.
Fast
you never
today,
know.
Jody.
I've been awake for a long time.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, as you guys may know yourselves, because you've been the people emailing in, we have got some listener emails. These were handed to us by Alan from Headstuff, who...
The best podcast network in Ireland.
Which makes us the best podcast in Ireland. Mm-hmm. And legally, we can say that. Yeah. So we have some listener stuff. This is stuff you guys have said to us that we have not read before. I don't know who this is from, but...
You look confused. Have you read anything today?
I haven't read... I'm bad at reading. Okay, this is how you guys find out I'm illiterate.
Wow.
Hello.
They do speak English.
That's a big word.
You're holding that at a distance, like you're short, like you know, you hand your phone to your dad, and then they go, like almost like they've been hit with a force field.
What's this making me seasick? What's
I can't handle the tension of waiting to hear what's on that card.
Okay. I can't wait.
Hey,
one more thing though.
No. Oh my goodness, we are bad at this. Okay,
it's very good.
First ever listener email. This is exciting. Hey,
more suspense.
Hey, love the pod. Yeah. You guys are gas. Thank Yay. You so much. Don't know if you have an agony aunt section, but I need some advice.
Okay.
I'm 25, from Dublin, and work in hospitality for years.
Yeah.
Mm. I got a random message about 6 weeks ago from a guy saying he saw we were mutual friends from the industry. What industry? We don't know.
Hospitality.
Right.
And he couldn't help but say hello. We worked in the same place for months and never crossed paths, and we know all the same people.
Mm.
Over the last 6 weeks, we've genuinely gotten feelings. We've discussed it, but he told me 2 weeks ago he has a girlfriend. Okay.
Whoa.
Big red flag.
Wow.
We text all day, every day, and have plans to meet up this weekend just for a chat. But I legitimately feel like it could be something real. I feel bad about his girlfriend, but I'm single and haven't done anything wrong, I don't think, as of yet. What should I do? Love you guys. Oof. Okay.
Listen, great question.
Mm.
I mean, I'm talking as if I have an answer.
Yeah, I thought you had something. I mean, it's a messy one there. Let's give this caller a name.
Shirley.
Shirley. Shirley. Surely you can think this through yourself, Shirley. No, I get it. Like, part of me's like being a cool progressive liberal going, you're not doing anything wrong, baby. That's his problem. But then do you want to enter into a potential relationship where something might spark off with a fellow who's talking to other girls behind his girlfriend's back? Talking online is, you can't talk online for 6 weeks though, babe. That's too long. You need to be already having a date. That's where I got my boyfriend. We met up the first week. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to be a distraction. I mean, it could be that maybe they are on the way out or something like that. And and maybe he's been unhappy and his happiness would be with you. But at the moment, you're kind of a distraction. And that's a habit that I don't know if he'd be able to break. It's just looking for another distraction down the line.
Yeah. Listen, harlot. No, I'm joking.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
I think you tell him to break up.
This craven woman.
This married couple. You should ask him to dump his girlfriend and then try out things. But I wouldn't start a relationship.
Meet up, though.
See how it goes. But, you know, what will happen is you'll meet up, you'll have a few drinks, and you'll probably do something you'll regret. So, you know, sounds like there's vibes here. Sounds like there might be something. But just make sure it's a bit of a red flag that he's kind of flirting with you while he's got his girlfriend.
Something has to happen, though, to end a bad relationship, though. And usually it's quite explosive and usually it's quite emotional.
It
very seldom ends in a way that's like an amicable sort of like, okay, well, I guess this is over and now we're friends or whatever like that. So something has to happen.
And maybe you should do it. Maybe
you should do it. But you don't want to be the catalyst.
Well, you're just saying something has to happen. So maybe you should.
I'm not sure if it's approach,
help the relationship on its way. We're giving genuine advice here. Then definitely don't do that.
I think meet up with him, but I think also bounce this around with your gals. Like, don't. Or are you gay? I don't know. Bounce around with your pals.
It seemed like a hetero relationship. Yeah, it's...
We don't know.
No, we don't know.
But anyway, I think bounces around your pals then.
He has a girlfriend, but we don't know...
Yeah.
Mm.
Oh, wait, that's probably then. It's probably a girl then.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, I don't know if these are... I'm going through all the emails
now.
Sorry, I'm going through all the emails.
Well, I do one.
Is that enough
for this person?
Is that enough? We hope that you're okay, and I hope we did a good job. I don't know why you're asking us. Like, do we give off the vibe that we're good at this kind of
stuff?
What
would you
do? Well, I mean, that would involve talking to. Well, I'm in this situation. I'm single because Anna would.
Yeah, in a situation where you're
Anna
single,
Anna would kill me.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it wouldn't be great.
No, I couldn't do that. I don't even want to answer this question.
My wife would be totally chill with it.
I think you're trying to trip me up here. Did Anna tell you to ask me that? You're trying to get me in trouble.
If you were single and you got a spark with someone and they were with someone, what would you actually do? Rather than what we're telling people from the judgmental side.
I'd be like a moth. I'd follow the spark. I would, but against better judgment. I think you're probably going to do something that's against better judgment. That's love. That's what it's
like. You're probably going to go into it and you might get hurt.
You should hold his hands and just go peep, peep, peep. I haven't had a leap and see that's if true. There's something going on there.
But can I just say, my whole thing at the moment is like living, I believe like life is living in the hope of something. Like when you're in IKEA in the showroom and you're like, this is how it could be. Right now you're in that and it's beautiful and it's kind of like you're living the fairy tale life right now. Okay, so like that is more sort of addictive but you might need to cut that off if you realistically don't know if it's going to go that way, or you have to give the reality a shot. You know, I think this kind of hopeful kind of 6 weeks texting, you know, is not a good place to be. It's not real, as beautiful as it is. Boys, you know I love tech more than I love my own kids. Okay, so let me tell you about a podcast that I love. It's For Tech's Sake. It's with Elaine Burke and Jenny Darmody. They've been writing about tech for years, and they're finally doing a podcast about it in a co-production between Headstuff and Silicon Republic.
That sounds like a good podcast for your mum to listen to, because you don't have to teach her how to use the remote every Wednesday.
That's true. That's very true. And they talk about everything. They talk about the highs, the lows, and everything in between. And every single week, they have an expert on.
Yes, a tech-spert.
A tech-spert to talk about the tech that they're talking
about. I
should
be on this podcast.
You should. Shane, say something.
Elaine, Jenny?
So do check out Elaine and Jenny on headsoftpodcast.com.
For Tech's Sake is a podcast that goes beyond the hype of tech developments to bring listeners the knowledge they need to make informed decisions. And it's hosted by me, Elaine Burke, a science and technology journalist.
And me, Jenny Darmody, editor of Silicon Republic.
Each episode, we're joined by an expert to answer our probing questions to discover what's good tech and what's just tech for tech's sake.
And we've had some amazing guests this season, including roboticist Niamh Donnelly. She was just named Woman of the Year in STEM by Irish Toddler.
We also had Ireland's AI ambassador, Dr. Patricia Scanlon, Stripe CTO David Singleton, and Bobby Healy, CEO of Irish drone company Mana.
And last season, we had Abiba Berhane, who was recently appointed to a UN advisory panel on AI.
We certainly know how to pick them. And if you want to be in the know on tech, robotics, drones, AI, and what have you, on a deeper and more human level, be sure to subscribe.
I believe you had a bit of a mechanical mishap with your car, Shane.
Yes, I had a grown-up problem. Some
speaking to the boys here.
Person destroyed my wing mirror on my car. And do you know what? It's upsetting. You're like, wow, who would do this? They wouldn't even note or whatever. They would just drive away, and you feel like affronted and hurt and victimized. But wow. Then I also was like, I was like, the first thing I did was contact my dad. And I was like, I'm such a, like, such a boy. I was
Daddy,
like,
should, were you
I,
crying?
I literally had no, I was like, I don't know how to solve this. Mm. I was like, I thought about it and I went, nope, no idea what to do. If I go to a garage, would they be like, no, you don't come here for that.
Yeah.
Then he suggested some kind of auto glass or something.
Auto glass repair?
Yeah. And then auto we went out to go to, I want to de-influence. Can I de-influence on the podcast?
Of course you
can. Okay. I want to de-influence garage because they don't have a phone. They don't answer the phone. They have a phone number.
Family run business here. Getting absolutely.
No, but I want to also big up another one. They don't have a phone.
I thought it was going to be like, you know, Statoil.
Yeah.
No, it's they're big. It's not like just a little man in the shop. It's a full warehouse operation. Like
it's okay. Some old, it's, yeah.
Oh, well,
it's
actually,
some old
feel,
man who's in his 80s and he's been running the yard there for years.
Get a fucking phone.
Get a phone.
Get a fucking phone.
Absolutely.
Is this
really?
No, I shouldn't do it. Okay.
No, destroy him. Destroy him. Screw
it. I thought you were going to like de-influence off a pedestal, not for
okay. Right. Well, then.
Like opening up the shutters today.
Yeah,
and go,
yeah.
Oh, I think it's going to be a good day today.
No, stop. Yeah, yeah. I want that edited out.
Only 1 year till. Only 2 more weeks till retirement. Just have to make sure I don't lose
Docs.
Any of that.
Are you finished?
Sorry.
I want that edited out. I don't want to do that. But I do want to. I went to one place, but I had to. My parents appeared at my house to come and investigate this.
Wow. Both of them?
Yes, both of them together in tandem.
Retirement's great.
And yeah, retirement. It's like we've nothing to do. So then we went out to some place in the Long Mile Road.
Did you sit in the front seat or the back seat?
My mom sat in the front and I sat in the back like a boy. Yes. And then I felt like I was. And because there
Did
was
they
none
let
of,
you choose the music.
None of my brothers were there. I felt like I was off sick from school on errands. Anyway,
oh,
that's what
yeah.
I felt like. But anyway, I was cruising around with them. It took a long time, traffic, blah, blah. And then the guy didn't have it. They went to the place, they didn't have it. And then, of course, we rang on the way back. They said, my mother was trying to solve it in, like, because then I was like stressed about driving this morning because I said I'd drive Killian. And then I was like, we have to drive back to town. And then I was like, I'm stressed with that. And then my dad, I was like, well, dad'll drive you. Why don't dad drive you up? And I was like, I'm not having you give a lift to me and Killian like on the way to scouts or something.
I'd love that. Maybe you'd let us stop and get a treat. Maybe stop at McDonald's.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see.
No magnums. No magnums. They're too much.
But they were clucking, having the pair of them clucking around, cluck, cluck, clucking around at various solutions. And then I was like, they're like, why don't you try and buy it online for collection? I was like, they don't have click and collect. It's not available for click and collect. And I was fighting with them. But remember I was talking last week about like, if your parents have stuff, you can just take it.
Yes.
Yes.
I can also, despite being in my mid-30s and they are retired OAPs, I can just speak in whatever tone I choose to them and abuse them. They're like, what about this? Trying to solve it, giving me a lift around like a nice people. And I'm just like, shut up. They don't have this. Like, go in and ask in there. I'm not fucking going in there. There are fucking pricks in there. I'm not going in there again. And just treat them like you just regress.
It's crazy how much, how quickly you regress.
Ah, shut. You're actually doing my head in. That's like you're a full
listening?
Adult.
Are you listening? I think. And then they also, my mom was in charge of Google Maps on her phone. Mm-hmm. So she was doing Google Maps and then she would keep saying things and then in the middle of conversation would stop and the Google Maps would talk. And it was so chaotic because every time that she'd say anything, my dad would say, which one? The next one, 200 meters. And my mom would say, 200 meters down here. So every direction went to her at least three times.
Oh my God.
And then like 20 minutes later, my mom said, I think it's Hannah doing the two of us in the car because then one of us can do the directions. I was like, there's nothing handy about how this situation is going at all. The two of you are about to like scrap at any second based on the thing. And she's just holding it, talking, and then telling you every little bit of detail about the. Did I tell you this? I'll tell you this. Anyway, so I went over. Oh my gosh. Anyway, so it's a pleasure to have them.
What do you have? So do you have like a little hand mirror kind of duct tape to the side?
No,
I got in this car this morning and it was there's just nothing there. I had to be his wing mirror, so I was like putting my head out his window, looking back, going, "No bikes, Shane." Mm-hmm. Or like if I put my head out, just my head gets cracked on a bike.
Well,
going, yeah, there was a bike there. He's just like, "You okay, killing? Your head's bleeding there." Yeah, no, all good. No bikes.
Shout out to Rathgar Motor Factors. They have it, and I'm gonna pick it up after this.
Like, amazing. When we were kids, we would drive to Germany, and my dad would be already over there. Working in the school or something like that. My mum would drive. There'd be three of us.
Or kids. As they say in Germany, Schule.
Schule is Schule. Very good. Sehr gut. And we would drive. And my mum, hopeless with directions. And this was before Google Maps and stuff. So like three like kids, like 7, 8 or whatever, and just holding a map, trying to direct my mother from all the way from Calais in France to like, you know, Cologne and Germany.
Oh my God.
So many roads, just looking at the map, and like you're just like a little kid with your tongue out of your mouth going, just like turning it upside down, going, Mum, I think we're gonna need to take the road left now, I think, Mum. Okay.
The poor woman, oh my God.
We ended up, we ended up accidentally in Belgium. She was driving across the border and she was like, welcome to Germany. And it was just like, welcome to Belgium.
Oh, wow.
La Belgique.
La Belgique, yeah.
See, now we'd find it very hard now, as I said, just listening to Seal over and over again with directions in the head. You know what I mean?
You just end up driving in circles.
God bless Google Maps. But that must have been tough, Shane. I'm sorry that happened to you.
I was upset and you were having good banter in our WhatsApp and I was like, do you know what? I'm not even playing banter. I'm too upset about this. Oh. But if I just got my act together, I could have got your man. I could have had it all sorted.
How much was it?
It's like 30 euro or something. It's not that bad, really.
Seems like a bit of a faff, yeah.
Yeah, a bit of palaver. But I do think, see, there are, I do have enemies.
Okay.
Oh.
And
I was not expecting that. Those words.
Oh, I'll tell you this. Sentence. This is when I was the manliest, sexy I've ever been in my life, right? Mm-hmm. So I got a new car. I'd never had it. It wasn't like, not like a brand new car, a secondhand car. It was new for me. And my previous car was just inherited via my brother and all the rest of it. So it wasn't actually my car. So it was my own thing. And when we went and got it, very excited, and parked it. And then the guy, a neighbor of mine, came out of the house and was like, well, you be there for long, lads? And I was like, well, yeah, like I live here. And then he was like, just want to move it there. Just, and he points to the neighbor's house. Like, you know what he's like. And I was like, no, it's not. It's outside your house, not his house. Anyway, it's not like we have a space outside our own house. There's no park. Anyway, everyone parks everywhere. It's fine. And then he was like, he's like, would you move? And I was like, no, it's grand. I was like, I'll leave it there. He doesn't have a car, this child. So I went into the house. We carried on. And then the doorbell rings and this man appears. And he was like, I didn't like your attitude there.
Oh, God.
And then I was like, oh, my God, I've got to be a bloke here. So I was like, sorry? He's like, I didn't like your attitude here. Your attitude. They asked me with the car. And I was like, I'll put the car there if I want. You don't even have a car. And then he was like, he was annoyed. Then he came right up close to my, like me on the step. And he was like, move. Basically went in, got as far as, he's like, move that car. And I was like, I'm not moving that car. And then he was like, came up real close, pointing his finger and all going, move that fucking car. Now I know this man happens because Margaret told me he has a history of keying cars.
Oh.
So then I was like, it's not worth it. Mm. It's not worth it. I said to myself. So then as he was down the step, I was like, I better move the car. So I said, all right, listen, I'll move the car, but I don't want any more hassle from you. Do you hear me? And he went, what did you say? And I said, I'll move the fucking car, but I don't want any more fucking hassle from you ever again. Did you hear me now?
I thought you only talked like that to your parents.
I don't know where it came from. I don't know.
I have an enemy. My enemy is the landlord of the last house that me and Anna rented.
Okay. Oh.
He was, well, he's more Anna's enemy and pissed Anna off so much that I kind of had to join her team. But he thought I was, basically he rented us a flat in this apartment, and it was in Portobello, a very small shoebox, tiny little thing, tiny. And he was the housemeister. He didn't actually own the building, but he had kind of
Did he ask that you refer to him in that title?
No, that's just what they call it in Germany, a housemeister. Okay. Like, instead of a landlord, you have someone who manages the house. And he, the housemeister.
The way you just dropped that in.
Yeah. Housemeister.
And, you know, he was the housemeister.
He was the housemeister, and he wore a long hat, long top hat, and we had
so
to bow.
Just the custom.
He kissed his ring every morning. It was just a traditional rental situation.
Yeah.
The housemeister. And so he had like rented this building, but then slowly he had kind of taken over all the other apartments and he was doing them up. And he had kind of taken over. He'd sort of taken over this house that wasn't his, but he sort of got the rent, and it was a weird cash situation, but it was cheap rent and town. So we were happy with it. And then he, I think, got very scared that I was going to do something like what he had done. Like, you know, the person who does the bad thing becomes the most paranoid of that thing being done to them. Mm-hmm. So he got real hyper fixated on me, because one time I mentioned that I liked gardening and the garden was a mess, and I was like, oh, I love gardening, but that garden's a bit of a mess. And he was like, oh, you won't be doing any gardening in there now because I have plans for that garden. And I was like, okay, yeah, don't want to do it. It's like a big construction job. And he was like, oh no. Every time I met him, the whole time we lived there, he'd be like, no messing around with that garden, Killian. And then he started getting fixated on me being on the roof, because he was directly below us, and then there was like a roof, an extension, and it was below our window.
Mm-hmm.
And he came up to me and he was like, listen, last night I could hear you on the roof.
Oh my God.
And I was like, what? He was like, I could hear you. You were dancing up there on the roof. And I was like, no, I wasn't. I didn't go on the roof. I have never been on the roof. I don't want to go on the roof. It looks like it will fall in. He's like, ah, look, we both know you were on the roof. And I was like, okay, I wasn't. And you know when you're arguing with someone and you can tell that they completely believe it? There's no arguing.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
I was like, I can't. There's nothing I can tell this man to like say that I wasn't on the roof.
Yeah.
And he just kept, in his texts, he was like texting me like for months going, I can hear you up on the roof there, Killian, you better get down. And I was like, why would I be on
fucking
the roof?
Hell.
What am I doing up there? Anyway, it all ended very badly. And we ended up, I had to go with my dad because I got so scared of him to collect there was this big argument about, we had bought the curtains and he wanted the curtains because he said we had made some agreement that we would provide the curtains for the place. And he was like,
you said if you'd get off the roof, you'd give me the curtains.
It was like, I don't know, it got such a complex situation. So I showed up with my dad and I had to hand him curtains, and then he handed me like €100 cash or something. It was a really weird situation. But anyway, that's my enemy. I'm still scared of walking around, seeing him up. He used to cycle around, but then he would wrap his dog's leash around the handlebars and the dog would run and the dog would pull him like a Santa sleigh or something.
Oh my God.
Scary guy. You don't pay your tickets?
Well, I wasn't paying the Lewis there for a while.
Oh my God.
Yeah, yeah. And it was a waste.
So your enemy might be the man.
Capitalism is your enemy.
No, I don't know.
Capitalism is everyone's enemy.
Yes.
I just like a bit of danger when I'm on the Lewis. I don't want to pay all the way into town, so I might pay as far as Charlemont and see if I can chance doing Harcourt or Stephen's Green, you know?
But there's nothing more embarrassing than being an adult and getting caught.
It's pretty bad.
I turned down a one-way street. There's a one-way street on my house, and because there's roadworks and everything going on, sometimes you can just, if it's like 11 or 12 o'clock at night, you're coming home from something and you're driving in, you can sometimes sneak in there.
And you'd be drunk. Like,
yeah. Yeah, and you'd be drunk, yeah. So you don't really care, you know? And so like I turned down the road and I was just like, I took a peek, there was no one there. There was a guy walking on the street, I was like, fuck.
Creeping and peeping.
And then I drove down. The guy on the pavement walked into the middle of the street. He was an old man. He put his hands out like a kind of like a scarecrow.
Love
started
it.
Walking towards me going, a one-way street. This is a one-way street. And I just was like, I rolled down the window and I was like, sorry, what? And he's like, one-way street. And I was like, it's one-way.
Quick.
Oh, no, I didn't know that. Well, here, listen, can you help me reverse? Can you help me reverse? And he went, go on. But it's so embarrassing getting caught. If I didn't fake, you know, playing the idiot, which works every time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Even if I intentionally didn't buy the ticket, I go, oh my God, I didn't know. Mm. You had to buy a ticket for the Lewis.
Mm.
You play the idiot.
Your face really suits that idiot style.
Yeah, it does.
They're
people
not allowed
say
to
that.
Touch it. They're not allowed to touch you, the Lewis
Yeah, buffoon
inspectors.
Kind of, people say that. Yeah, empty kind of like, yeah, that's what people say.
use this. This will work all the time, right? Am I being detained? Am I being detained? And then if they say no, then you can walk away. Am I being detained? You're not allowed to touch me. Am I being detained?
You're going to turn into one of those.
Martin Luther on the Lewis. Yeah. Do the Rosa Parks.
So my new show on Rumble is starting. It's all about your rights, and it's all about sticking
to
the
don't
man.
Know what Rumble... What's Rumble for people who don't know? Because that sounds
right-wing
like a wrestling
YouTube.
Thing.
Right-wing YouTube.
It's right-wing YouTube.
Kind of, yeah.
Okay.
Well, free speech YouTube.
Yeah, well, there is a difference. People like, yeah, nothing means anything anymore. Right wing doesn't no longer means, well, I'd be more, you know, fiscally conservative, whatever. It now means, can also mean total whack job.
Yeah.
Mm. So it's hard to know. But yeah. You said that Russell Brand hosts his show on Rumble.
Got a daily show.
So
on
that
Rumble.
Gives you the idea of the quality of content you might find over there.
Well, when will we be going daily on Rumble?
If the allegations hold up in court, we'll be over there. But you know what I mean.
That's how to be allegations. You just have to host a show every single day. So if you find there's more output of this show, it's because one or maybe all three of us are in the deep shit. You know.
Suddenly the younger guys are posted every day.
It's like the trenches.
Oh, that must have happened then.
Yeah, you don't want to pop your head above a parapet in the middle of an allegation. You just need to send the whole lads over. And just get some of them mowed down and have some of them make it over to the next trench.
Or like asking people to come over to whatever, like Patreon or Headstuff Plus. Asking people to come over to Headstuff.
Headstuff
Plus.
Is a right-wing network.
Headstuff is a right-wing network.
Headstuff is...
They are trying to silence us from talking about the way our dads help us when our wing mirrors... They're trying to stop us from saying this, okay?
You know, the mainstream don't want to hear that. They don't want to hear that your mom and dad will, despite you being a grown man... will drive you to the Long Mile Road. I don't want people to know that.
CNN, NBC, you don't hear about scented candles on CNN, NBC. No. You don't hear about that stuff.
And that's why us, you know, Tucker, you know, all of us, we're out here. Yeah. We're out here, you know, just before the podcast is on today, Niamh Kavanagh, Eurovision winner, she was in here a few minutes ago. And she is a truth sayer too.
Yes, she is.
You know, that's what that song's about. Listen to the lyrics in your eyes. I see a light leading me home again.
Yeah, that's
what's she talking about?
Fucking truth of what
what's
she's talking
about?
Ireland? Yeah, she's talking about a new world
when
order.
When I see the Irish flag these days, I kind of think, for some reason, because of all the protests and stuff, I kind of think when I see an Irish flag, I think it's kind of racist.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I get what you mean, though, because of this. It's not actually nationalism, it's racism.
No, I refuse.
No, you know
the same way you see an English flag and you know that that's kind of a thing. We're not having that. We're not having that with our flag. You have to figure something out.
We need to reclaim the Irish flag.
No, not even reclaim. Just we've got to change it. Some people use it, some people don't. We love that flag. If the idea that the boys in green are out and people are hanging the fucking flag from the flats and all of a sudden that has some sort of connotations of, no, you just need to drop it. Some people use the flag the right way, some people use it the wrong way. We're not losing that fucking flag to nationalism. No fucking way. Ever. Sorry.
I just think it's a bit racist.
I think grow up away from nations. Grow up. You know, people are talking about, even someone I loved in my youth, Gemma Hayes, was talking about borders the other day. Anybody see, like, there's a, speaking of flags, red flag. Someone's talking about borders on the internet, whatever. Our borders are more secure.
No.
The whole point of having the EU is that it reduces this country, nation thing. That's the whole point. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's obviously the whole point. It's obviously someone's greed somewhere. Look, I'm no fool.
I'm no fool.
Did you see Downing Street posted on their Instagram? They posted a thing saying, celebrating Northern Irish culture. We're so proud that it's part of the UK or something like that. They had two women doing Irish dancing outside it. And then at the end, as a little like cherry on the cake, they posted a tricolour.
The Republic of Ireland
tricolour, and hastily deleted it. Which is funny, they didn't delete it and then put like another flag up. They just deleted it immediately. But people were just, I can't remember, I think it was Seamus O'Reilly was saying on Twitter, he's like, well, you know, if I know unionists in Northern Ireland, they'll just see the funny side of this.
Do you love putting up the Christmas decorations in November? Who does?
Well, now it's coming.
Jingle bells are coming.
Will you be putting up your tree tomorrow, 1st of December?
No, we actually have a tree. We bought a little small tree in a pot, and we bought it last year for whatever, 20 quid. And I have managed to keep it alive and well, so we will have our tree ready to go. Yeah.
Wow. A carnivorous whisperer.
Out on the patio. Carnivorous. That's
deciduous.
Deciduous.
Deciduous. It's carnivorous. Which is which?
Carnivorous.
I don't know.
Deciduous is
carnivorous
is
the dog's teeth.
Christmas tree.
I feel like they should have taught us that in school, a little like, you know, little mnemonic or something for that.
So deciduous lose their leaves. Carnivorous, Christmas, please.
Keep them.
What are you putting up? Are you a big decorations guy?
Is it your first Christmas in your new house?
It's first Christmas in the new house, yeah. Nice. I want to get a fake tree. My wife won't.
Which is better for the environment? People go on about trees. They people just go up randomly go up cutting down trees in the forest. They're just a crop, like cabbage. Like, it's just a crop. Someone grows it as a crop.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't really know what I'm talking
about. I love a fake tree and I love sparkly lights. I've said this before. Like, I love the kind of Christmas tree that when you walk by a house and you see a fake sparkly lights and you just think, now there's definitely some people sitting there enjoying a Chinese right now. Do you know what I mean? That kind of vibe. Those are my people. That's the kind of tree that I want to have represented. I don't want white. I don't want classic. I want fucking just over the top.
Gaudy.
Yes. I want gaudy. I was about to say Gaudi. I'm so glad you said the word before
He's
me.
He's an artist.
Gaudy. Yes, Raymond tried
I
to
want
buy.
Gaudi. Just I want come to totally
nothing classy. Just Gaudi. Just real gothic and
wall.
Shit.
Just a lot
Raymond
of,
tried to buy it. He wanted like a tacky frame for something kind of gaudy like that. And he asked the girl in the shop and he was like, do you have anything gaudy kind of? And she went, like our Lord? Which I think is so funny. The idea that someone said, do you have any? She obviously thought he said gaudy, which is not a word. Do you have anything gaudy?
Gaudy, like
something
like
gods. Gaudy kind of, like our Lord?
We were doing Sonny's Letter to Santa.
What age is he now?
He's three.
Okay.
Three and a half.
Great time for Santa.
Loving it. Like getting hooked on it. And yeah. I was like, he was writing down the list of everything. And I'm like, oh, so they're going to give us, so you're getting, he wants to get a cowboy gun and a lightsaber. And I'm like, oh, okay, so I know the elf. They're going to give Tex the cowboy gun. He's really good at making them. They're going to give Zodor the lightsaber because he can make them really, he's loving all. I'm naming all the elves that are going to make his present. Oh. And we're writing the list. And just before, we don't have a fireplace and we weren't arses posting it. So like we just burnt it in a bowl in the back garden. But I was playing like the Edward Scissorhands soundtrack. So it was really nice. And we put it in the bowl.
You always have your own spin on these things.
Don't you really do.
Do you know what? Tony tells you their own thing. Don't think they do their own thing. They're off on their own. They do their own thing.
I was like every uncle and auntie at my wedding saying that. So we were burning and Terry, like, we're doing all this stuff on like the seat of our pants. Like, we hadn't really talked about what we were going to do. And all of a sudden I've got a bowl. All the citronella candles are in there and we're going to light the letter on fire.
From under the sink.
From under the sink, yeah. Which took ages to clean out because that's also a popcorn bowl. Anyway, we're burning it and Terry goes, now it's also, I think it's time to be grateful as well. You know, I think it's time to be grateful. So we'll think about, before we send it off, you know, what we have. So before we, you know, burn it, I think we want to thank Santa. I'm like, where's she going with this? Thanks, Santa, for our lovely house. And I'm like, what? He's a fucking god, Terry. Like, he's not like, I'm just like, no, but you know, we just be grateful. Thanks, Santa, for our family. Santa didn't give, if we're not going to use Santa as like the devil who watches and, you know, instills this moral fucking good and bad, then we're not giving fucking paying homage to fucking, you know, Santa. So, but it's like, no, say thank you. For you know, for the present that you're gonna, you know, and then we burnt it, and they were like, and I was saying beforehand, and when you burn it, it scatters into a million pieces, and then it flies off. Didn't happen at all. Just kind of burnt and looked the exact same shape, but now black. And he's like, it didn't go anywhere. And I'm like, but the words traveled. The words traveled to the North Pole, and they went down. The words burnt off the letter, and they traveled. And they went down.
Thank mom and dad for the house.
I know, yeah.
Thank
yeah.
mom and dad for the house.
Yeah.
Thank the Patreon subscribers.
Thank yeah. the Patreon. Thanks, yeah. mom and dad 100%. For the house.
And how do you teach a child about that there is, of course, nothing to be grateful for or ungrateful for? And truly, there's just an unending endlessness out there stretching to infinity and utterly meaningless.
Anyway, look, I think that's a good place to leave it there. Look, if you... Oh, God, we didn't actually get to go to any of the existential crisis icks.
Yeah, the icks to do with existential dread, which Shane was kind of doing his bit there. But if you do have them, please keep sending them in. Yeah. We've got so many fun existential
if you're staring up at space and you're thinking, what the fuck is the fucking point of any of this? So we'd love to know about it. YHG at headstuff.org. Please do send them in. And if you have any questions for us, of course, these are lovely. You know, love the podcast. Was pissing myself multiple times. Wow, you may be drinking a little bit too much water there. And eventually found it and love it. That's lovely to know. But if you have any questions, any juicy little agony ants, we can tell you all about it.
Yes.
Answer them.
Also, we...
Bonus content.
Oh my God, bonus.
Bonus content. We will be doing some bonus content if you head over to Headstuff Plus.
It's essentially, Headstuff Plus is like signing up to a little Patreon, but it only exists via Headstuff's website.
Yes,
and you're supporting us and you get extra stuff from us.
And you'll be supporting us and also you'll be putting... I think the vast majority of the portion will go towards the Church of Scientology.
Mm-hmm. yeah, okay.
But a small portion will go towards us. peep, peep, peep.
Peep,
no,
peep,
no,
peep.
You will, there you will be able to get bonus content. We're going to start doing some bonus episodes. So we are.
Well, there's going to be some bonus episodes online right now by the time you get over.
Online right now. While you're listening to this, we are going to record our first bonus episode. We're very excited. We're really hot and fresh and ready and hot and young and ready to go. So as fresh Tommy Bo says, we are some young, hot boys.
We really think we are.
And stay with us. Don't forget, next week we have our big exclusive interview with Dane Bowers. And that'll be coming up next week.
Bitter, attractive,
very, very attractive.
Hot and loud.
And a little bit sad.
He was the best guy around.
Oh my, is it hot in here or what?
You're an attractive guy.
It's the fabulous Tony Cantwell.
I'm talking about Shane Daniel Byrne.
Idiots on the moon!
This show is part of the Head Stuff Podcast Network, a hub for the creative and the curious. Shows are produced in association with Head Stuff and the Podcast Studios Dublin. Find out more or become a member at headstuffpodcasts.com.